Welcome to the CCM Live with Marcus podcast. To watch encore video broadcast and keep up with what's new in Christian music, visit ccmmagazine.com. And now, today's episode, here's Marcus.
How's it going, everyone? It's Thursday, and it is CCM Live. I'm excited to see you all on this wonderful Thursday night. My name is Marcus, and I am your humble host. I'm going to say the word excited a few times today, but it's always good to be with you guys. And we do this thing Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9:30 on the East Coast, 6:30 on the West Coast. And this is where we talk about Christian music. On Tuesday, we had I Am They, and it's fun to talk to some of our musical heroes on Thursday, where we throw it back a little bit, and that's what we do. And listen, it's great to talk with these people. It's also good to talk with you. So hit those comments down in the comment section. We're watching them. Look, wait. Here we go. Scott Travis is here. He says hi. Look, hi, Scott. Hello. We're watching your comments. So throw those in if you have questions. Of course, I'm watching those too. But you know what? This would be a really great time to go and hit that little share button. You know, the share button's nice because it brings more people to the party. So just do that. So hit the share button or tag somebody in the comments and let them know what's going on today. Look, we are here to chat about Christian music, and we do this not only in this show, we also have a blog. So if you go to ccmmagazine.com and click that Live with Marcus tab, you can see what's going on every day over there. We had fun talking about like how to make the Super Bowl better and all the different people that do that Tremble song. You know that Tremble song? Like, everybody's doing it. You got to go here. Like, find your favorite version. Anyway, all right, let's get right to this. My guest today, I've been so excited to find a way to do this for a very long time. And he was the lead singer, and I say was, and we're going to have to get to the bottom of that, but he was the lead singer, one of my favorite rock bands, especially of the late 90s, early 2000s. They had a whole bunch of songs that I loved, and I'm sure many of you loved, like Super Good Feeling, Epidermis Girl, Heartbeat, We Are Tomorrow, Clear the Air, and he's here now. He's doing... We're going to find out exactly what he's doing and why I haven't heard more Bleach songs. It's the lead singer of Bleach, and it's Davey Basinger. Welcome, man.
What's up? How's it going, man?
It's going good. It is so good to see you, man. And it's just, yeah, it's awesome. What's funny is like I've done plenty of these interviews here and then at my last position over at New Release today. And it's rare where I start to like straight up geek out, you know, like I remember seeing you guys at a youth gathering in Atlanta for all these Lutheran youth, and you guys were playing there, and I think it was like the Omni Hotel in Atlanta, and ran into you guys, all of you guys, in an elevator, and I'm 16 years old, and I was just freaking out, you know, like, it's Bleach, oh my gosh. And here I am, I'm 16 again, basically, you know, except plus 20.
That's awesome. Was that? I actually think I remember that show.
Yeah, man.
To think about, but it was in Atlanta. It wasn't. We did two Lutheran things in Atlanta. One was at the big old, like the big, what is it, Superdome or something like that, or Georgia.
Yeah, we were at the Georgia Dome.
Was that the one?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I think that might have been the biggest crowd that we ever played for.
Yeah, well, that's cool. It was so random because it's like a subsect of the Lutheran movement, like, and it was the national gathering of this, like, it was weird. That was straight. You know, nominations are fun, but yeah, but they drew a lot of kids, so it was cool.
Isn't there like a band that is a Lutheran band that plays a lot of the Lutheran events?
Are you? Oh man, I don't know. I'm not in that stream anymore, but I'm sure there is.
I remember this band. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Lost and Found. Whoa, there's a throwback, man. Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Well, so Davey, you the way we start the show every time is we ask people to look around their immediate vicinity and share some object around them that tells us a little bit more about you right now.
Oh man, well, I'll start with this.
Where are you right now? Where are you?
That's what I'll start with, because okay, it's kind of a funny story, but I actually am this is going to be awesome. I live in a trailer.
Yes.
Like a travel trailer. So
are you living that road life?
Well, kind of. I mean, so I tour full time with an organization called Food for the Hungry. Yeah. And so I'm gone a lot. I was started dating a girl about 3 years ago, and I sold my house about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And when I went to sell my house, my whole plan was always to buy land and to, you know, buy this place out in the middle of nowhere, like my dream. And then I started thinking, I think I might marry this girl, you know? And so, and then I started thinking, I wonder if she's going to like when we get married, me just saying, hey, here's 30 acres in the middle of nowhere. Are you going to enjoy that? You're welcome. Yes. So long story short, I opted to buy a travel trailer. That way she's from Houston. So that way I could go to Houston and, whenever I was off tour, you know, I'd be off for a month or so and I'd go to Houston, drive down there and take my house with me. So, so I actually offer in on a house, that should, I should close next week in Columbia, Tennessee. And also I have asked that wonderful woman to marry me.
And yeah. Congrats. I saw that on Instagram, man. That's awesome.
She actually said, yes. Yeah, so I just grabbed a picture off my wall. That's something.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats.
Something about me right now. So a lot of changes right now. Yeah. We could use your prayers for sure. Wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buying a house and moving my fiance to Nashville is all in the works, plus working full time with Food for the Hungry. So
are you sad you're giving up the wheels, you know, the mobile?
No, I'm not gonna give it up, man. I'm gonna live.
Okay, good.
She's gonna live in the house, I'm gonna live in the trailer. So no, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna keep it, you know, it's gonna be fun. So we're gonna use it to travel around the world a little bit when we have
to. Cool. Lots of people congratulating you right now. And
thank you all.
Yeah. So cool. So cool. Well, all right. We got to talk. We're definitely going to talk about what you're up to. We got to talk Bleach for just a second. And I have to, you know, maybe this is like therapy or something, because, you know, your guys is like all of your social handles for the old band is Bleach is Alive. And I feel like you're playing with our hearts a little bit. Can you tell us, like, you guys got back, I think in 2015, you played a show, something like that. And then what was it? It was like, oh, that was fun. I don't know. Are you at the state where it's like, if there was an opportunity to do something, you'd all look at your calendars and see, or is it just sort of like, no, that's over? Because there's lots of murmurings. You know?
I think it gets less and less likely. I mean, it's never unlikely for us to do a show. Like, I think we're, you know, Bleach is alive in the sense of we're all still best friends. Like, actually, where I'm parked right now, which is crazy, this is going to sound funny, I'm literally, my trailer is parked in Sam's backyard.
That's awesome.
Like, he's probably up there sleeping right now. He goes to bed early. He's an old man. But
you're like the Uncle Eddie, you know?
We're all best friends. Milam moved to Phoenix, so he lives in Phoenix now. But the rest of us live around the Nashville area, and I work with Jared. Milam works at Food for the Hungry too. So Sam actually works at Food for the Hungry every now and then. Every once in a great while, we drag him in. But
yeah,
Jerry's living right outside of Nashville too. So we're all kind of Matt, our original drummer, also is living in Nashville. So we all get together as much as possible. But oh, hey. Somebody just came in my trailer.
Hey. Oh, well, hello.
I told you I was in the backyard.
You really were. That's amazing.
It really is pretty close to the river, bro. So it's a trailer down by the river.
It is a trailer.
Yeah. Oh, man. People are excited to see you there, Sam. That's awesome. Hey, Sam. Man. Sam, is Davey basically like the Uncle Eddie, you know, in your backyard?
I told him.
No, we love having him
in
man.
A couple years.
All right,
the house that I'm buying right now that I'm in the process of is like Sam lives on Third Street or Third Avenue, and it's on Sixth Avenue. So we're like
we'll be neighbors.
We're gonna stay all next.
Right. All right, neighbors. Well, as long as you can still dump your gray water. That's or right. black water at his house that you're good. That's,
like, it's not a problem. Like, yeah, we've got rhythm, man.
Man, that's awesome. Well, since you're both here, tell me sort of like you guys got together as a band somewhere 94, 95-ish, right? And then we're kind of going until what, 2010-ish? Was it that late?
No, I think, well, I think our last show was like in 2004 or something. But then we did hey, we're calling it quits from touring full time was 2004, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Why did I think it was later? That's sad.
We look so young.
That's right.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. So you guys, you know, yeah. So 2004, you did this for, I don't know what, 11, 12 years. And what was it? What was it that finally made you guys go, okay, the pace is crazy. It's time to move on to other things. What was it?
Yeah. I think it was a handful of things. For me, I was married at the time, and touring was hard on, you know, it was a hard thing, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And I felt like I needed to come home and come off for that, you know. And mm-hmm. you know, I was home for 7 years after that before I finally ended up going through a divorce, which I would not wish on my worst enemy. You know, mm-hmm. but I would say that through that, I've learned so much, man. I think grown me a lot. Milam and Jared lost their brother in Iraq around that same time.
That's right.
And Sam, you know.
We had one son, Journey, and we were pregnant with our daughter, who's our middle child. It was just kind of life started happening.
A lot.
That way, yeah. Right? So.
So immediately when it's over, what did you all go do? What was where'd you find yourselves once this, obviously that would be tough if this is your life for more than a decade. Where do you find yourselves right after this?
I think the initial thing was, and not talking about jobs, but just talking about like us, is like, at least for me, I think there was a moment of like trying to figure out my identity, you know, because so long that was who I was Davey from Bleach, or, you know, that was that those two things went hand in hand. And so I think figuring out who I was a little bit, and, you know, I think it's hard for anybody. It's weird. We came up in a time period when like it was cool to be an anti-rock star, you know, it was not a rock star, you know, like Nirvana, and Pearl Jam, and all those bands that were coming out, they kind of despised like all the hair metal, like look at us,
the glam.
They were like the everyman, you know. And so I think for us specifically, even in our band, like anytime somebody started acting like a rock star, we would be like one of the other dudes would call us out. You know what I mean?
Nice,
like,
good.
Dude, what are you doing? You know, and so. I think even in that though, there was a side of it where it affects you, you know, it's like, it's not real life, you know, when I go into the office now at Food for the Hungry, everybody doesn't, I mean, they may say hello and give, you know, but nobody's standing up and clapping and like screaming, you're awesome, and you know, they do sometimes.
Oh, okay. Merch with your face on it, you know, stuff like that.
You know, and it's not like somebody's standing over your, you know, over your shoulder with a phone, like, I'm gonna put this on YouTube. I wonder how he composes this email, you know? So like, all that to say, like, I think there's something not normal about being in a band.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Normal life. Mm-hmm. And so to get connected with normal life, it was a bit of a transition, even like hanging out with making friends, you know, like all my friends, all my Bleach buddies are all working, so I'm not hanging out with them like I always have, and you know, new people like church or just out and about, and it's like I'm just thinking, well, you're cool, but you're not cool as my friends, you know.
Yeah. Oh, brothers.
So I think there's a I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it was it's a transition. It's definitely a transition, and I think for me, right after Bleach stopped, we kind of I took maybe 5 or 6 months to kind of gather. And there is this whole like David said, there's this identity thing happening, and so you're kind of right after Bleach, I managed a venue called Rocket Town here in Nashville.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of cool. For about 3 years, it was interesting because for me, I'm there, I'm getting there at like 10 in the morning and getting home at like 3 in the morning. So it was like, there was still a lot of like, so that adjustment, I think that kind of made it a little easier in the sense that it was still this touch with music and being involved. And then, at least for me, my transition was kind of that way. So,
So you're still sort of involved in that world a little bit, and that made it.
Yeah, totally.
Halfway house.
Yeah,
I was. I think I've always been. Even now, I mean, I've always stayed kind of involved. I did graphic design and I worked at a label back in the day as creative director.
Which label did you work at?
I worked at this label called BHT, which was Rambler Records. So it was like Deus Vale. I think the Gatinas were on BHT.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
The Wedding, a band called The Wedding.
Yeah.
A guy named John Davis, who was in a band called Super Drag, was on that label. So it was a bunch of cool bands. I worked as a creative director there and then did graphic design still after that kind of folded, and then actually started a record label called Slow Speak Records, and I did that for about 7 years. So I've had really cool jobs, but honestly, the one I love the most is the one I'm doing right now, Food for the Hungry. I love it, man.
Yeah.
It's the best thing I've ever been a part of. And I mean, it's awesome. Being lead singer of a band's pretty cool too.
So. Yeah.
So what are they? I mean, what does day to day life look like for you in that job right now? Do you have a normal day? What does that look like?
No, not really. I know what normal is. My main job is to go on tours, and so I go out on tours. I've been out with like Toby Mac, Third Day, Switchfoot, Lecrae. I'm getting ready to go out with Lauren Daigle.
Cool.
I don't know if anybody's listening about this, but she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's a good human being. I know because I see her every day and I see how awesome and how much more godly she is just in her actions than a lot of other artists. So she's amazing. So, so I get to go out with those artists. I kind of set up Food for the Hungry tables and train anywhere between 20 and 140 volunteers every night, depending on what tour I'm on, and get to talk about what Food for the Hungry is doing, which is awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody that's throwing questions in. We're going to throw some of these here. AJ said, he has a comment. My favorite Bleach moment was when Davey would climb the speaker stack at the door in Dallas and then jump off and crowd surf. Do you have any favorite, memories from the stage as you were, performance memories, whether they were embarrassing or just epic?
I'll tell you an embarrassing one was actually in Dallas, AJ. And so like we were in Dallas at the door, and I think it was the first song. Do you remember this?
I don't know. Tell me.
Okay. So I would do this thing where I would tape up the microphone cord. We never really had wireless mics because I think they were afraid we were going to break them.
Yeah.
But I would like tape up the cord really tight, and then I would just like swing that mic like this, on the stage. And so like and sometimes I would do like short ones. And at Dallas, like the first song, I literally went like this, and the mic came back and went wham. Hit me right in the head. And so I was like, I was kind of stunned a little bit, and then I felt my hat, like I felt it like getting tighter, and I was like,
oh no,
it was a giant knot on my head. I went back to Jared. He was playing drums, and I just turned around and I went like that to show him. His face went like that. I mean, he was watching and he was like, And I did that. And he goes, like, just freaked out.
Oh, man. Good thing there's no blood. Could you imagine? I mean, it'd be a real rock show at that point.
One I was thinking about was when we were playing in California somewhere, and it was like a couple songs in. And I forget, Jerry, our bass player, like somehow he rammed into one of us.
Me, like I went back and he was going, he had his bass like this, going down.
Which and, on the Fender tuning pegs are like, they're like knife on it, and right on the bass. Yeah, and he goes down and goes, crack. And anyway, ended up like busting his head open, and we had to like stop the show because he literally had to go get, I don't know, however many staples put in his head from that. So,
man, you see,
I will give him credit because we like stopped the show. It had all this, I mean, it was blood was everywhere. It looked like The Walking Dead or something, you know, it was horrible.
Oh, man.
And, like, we stopped the bleeding, and we went to the bathroom backstage, and like he was looking at it, and he was like, kind of like looking at the cut, and he goes, I think I can go back on. And I had seen how deep it was, and I was like, no, I think you need to go hot. And he went back and looked at it, and he went like this and like split it open, and he was like I saw him get weak in his knees, and he's like, yeah, I need to go hot. So
oh man, you know, see, rock and roll, man, it's a full contact sport, everybody.
Yeah,
full
is.
Contact. I got a question from Mel. It says, how did it feel to win the Dove so early in your career? What was that like?
That was crazy. Because, especially, like, the bands that were in that category at the time, I remember, like, Supertones, and I don't remember who else.
Oh, yeah.
We were just like, there's no way. And none of us were prepared for that, yeah. So.
Which one was it? Was it New Artist, or what was it?
Modern Rock Song. I think it was Modern Rock Song of the Year or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it felt good. I don't know. I mean, I think they decided never to do that again.
Yeah.
That was
one and done.
You're in headlights.
Yeah. I think we're nominated another time, and then I got nominated for a album package, like design, you know, like graphic design for Reliant K, but nope.
Oh, nice.
One and done.
Which Reliant K album did you design?
I've done a few. I did the Bird and the B-Sides, the Christmas one, which is Let It Snow, Baby, Let It Reindeer.
Reindeer, yeah.
I think I did Forget Not Slow Down. I did the design on that, the layout.
That's cool.
Ethan took the pictures, but I just
landed. That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, fun fact. Joe wants to know, and a bunch of people seconded this question, what happened to the album that you started recording 5 years ago?
Well, recording might be a bit of a stretch
there.
Yeah, we started writing. It's interesting because we've written a bunch of times, really. Quite a few times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that particular time we actually did go in the studio with Mark Townsend.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's all that happened. We went in.
We're finished. Was it like demo stage and that was it, kind of?
Pretty much. Yeah. I think, we had some drums and, we never got demo. Past it. I don't even
know. What you should do is do like an auction, you know, like for food for the hungry, and give away your demos, like to people that, you know, whoever like gives a gazillion dollars to food for the hungry. That's what you should do.
I'll do it. Anybody
do it.
I mean, if anybody would do that, I would give more than that, because dude, I don't want to talk about it too much in the sense of that, but I love
totally.
It.
Can.
It's changed my – I mean, I think about poverty a lot.
Yeah.
Because of working at Food for the Hungry. And I realized, I think, really quickly after taking a couple trips, that poverty is not limited to not having money, you know? It's not just money. But it's a full circle, you know? It's body, mind, and spirit, really, that we all exist under. And – you can have poverty of mind, you can have poverty of spirit, or you can have poverty of like physical, the body, you know? And so Food for the Hungry focuses on all three of those things. And it's, the work is just unreal, you know? And I think one of the things I love about Food for the Hungry is that every child that gets sponsored is a part of a community that we're working directly with.
Yeah.
And the goal is within 10 years to be able to leave that community. So we don't want to stay forever. We don't want to be there forever. We want to actually go in and give opportunity where there has never been, hope where there's never been, and be able to walk away and it be sustainable. And it is unreal to see the difference between a community we just started in and one that we're leaving.
Man,
night and day, man. It's, I mean, I saw when I was in the Dominican Republic, I saw three girls. We were in a community that we'd been in for about 9.5 years, and they were about 6 months away from graduating our program. And I saw three girls in an area that had had nothing up until, you know, 9.5 years before. Saw three girls with school books and school uniforms on, and they're walking in the street, and it's like 8:30 at night. And I'm like, you all torture your kids, make them go to school till 8 o'clock at night. Like 8:30. Like, why are those girls still in their school uniforms? And the staff member there in the DR was just kind of laughing. And she was like, no, Davey, those three girls are in the after school program. They choose to be in,
oh, wow,
in accounting class. In a year from now, those three young women are going to become accountants.
Wow.
This is the area where there wasn't clean water, very little food, no real education.
Yeah.
Today. And so those are the kind of things that we're able to see. And so,
I love that.
I'm the most skeptical in the world about any kind of thing like that. Like, honestly, I was like, I don't know if I even want to do this. And then, like, I don't know if I believe this. And after seeing it with my own eyes, and then last year, about 6 months ago, I went to Peru and I got to meet a little boy that I started sponsoring 2 years ago. And I'm telling you, like,
it's so awesome.
Just ridiculous. So
it's, I love seeing, like, I think for some people that were in Christian music a while, it can kind of make them crazy, you know, like it can mess them up maybe in a lot of ways spiritually or all these things. And it's awesome when you see people that have been, that have done it and been in the industry, and you take your hits and stuff like that, but come out the other side, serving people. I just love, I love that story. And, you know, I mean, it's not to say that those that have gone through that other stuff, that there's not, you know, plenty of reasons and stuff like that, but it's cool. So, all this FH.org, of course, you want to learn more about Davey's, his new job, his new rock star job. He still tours. He still talks to people and meets and greets. So, but for a different cause. That's so cool. I have a question for you. Since you're both here, this is even better.
Yeah, perfect.
If you could redo, like, let's just say you had all the time in the world and money and all that stuff. If you could redo a single Bleach album with today's technology, or your own musical vibes or whatever, which one would it be and why?
I'll let you in.
Man, I don't know. Well, it's interesting. We were talking about this not too long ago, is that really, like, our first couple albums felt, I think we were, you know, we just came right out of college having no idea that this was going to be our career.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think those were both really maybe what a lot of people's demos would have been, you know? And so I think it'd be fun to hear those records done kind of with what's available today and as you obviously grow and progress as artists. So, but even as I say that, I mean, that was where we were at and who we were. So,
I think so. I agree. I think I agree. It is weird how we pretty much just dropped out of college and moved to Nashville, and started our first record. We were just like doing it for fun.
Yeah.
And that's what came up. And then the second record, we felt a lot of pressure, I think.
Sophomore release.
To do something. And I think we still didn't really know. I don't think it was until our third record that we really even knew who we were, what we were into. And then our drummer left, and our other guitar player left, and bass player. So it was just Sam and I really on our fourth record. So we were still, we called it Again for the First Time, because we were learning to be a band again,
Man. Well, if you, I'm sure you guys, obviously you're still connected in many ways to the Christian music world. What, would you say it's harder or easier to get started, you know, if you were a band now, if Bleach was just starting out now, would Would it be more difficult or easier for you guys to do what you did?
I think it would be impossible. I really do. I think it would be impossible. And that's because, at least in Christian music, where we're at now, it's mostly worship, you know? Yeah. And I think it's because we would always say we were a worship band, which we really like. What the band is, we were nothing like that as in we didn't play those types of songs, but I think in our lyrics, especially later in our hearts, I feel like that was what we wanted to do, was to, in our own way, you know, I mean, if somebody listens to our records now, especially later ones, they may get a hint of that, but I don't think they're going to think, oh, that's a worship band. You know, they're going to think it's rock.
Right. Band. Yeah, totally.
But I don't think there's much space. You know, like when I was running the record label, you know, I had one of my artists was, most of the artists on the label, most of them were all Christian people and or at least had come from that. I'd say almost all of them had at least come from that and maybe were in a place of struggle or trying to figure it out, or all in different areas of life, I guess. One artist in particular had had a couple number ones at Christian rock radio, and I realized like it's just not there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
For us to get a number one in Christian rock, like that would mean we maybe would sell 10,000 units, you know, like not just singles, but like CDs, like full records.
Right.
And for them to get a number one, it was like not even anywhere close to that. And it wasn't records. It was just a single, you know, so, on iTunes. So
it translates.
I mean, way, way, way lower. And so there's just no place for that now, which is sad. You know, I think there's so many great bands during that era that were creative and that really reached outside of the box. And I think there's some still now that do that in Christian music that are maybe a handful, the most, that are successful at it. But I think if it's funny because most of the bands during our area, our era, you know, like maybe if we would have stuck with it, we would have actually still been doing it, you know, like it's funny.
Like Switchfoot and
go out with Switchfoot, you know, when I went out on tour with them, I'm like, they're still doing it and they're doing a great job, you know.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if Skillet's still doing it.
Yeah, but,
you know.
Oh yeah.
The time we did, you know, we did a co-headline tour with them where it was Skillet and Bleach, you know, and about halfway through our career, and so I don't know. All that to say, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's possible?
Man, I mean, it's hard to make money. Like I think it's easier to somehow create a following, but I think it's harder to make any kind of living at it.
Well, there's so many bands in the marketplace too that, you know, there was kind of a bit of a, you know, you kind of might start locally and then regionally and then nationally. And now I think it's the challenge, and it's also amazing that, you know, people have all these resources at their hands that that weren't available
before. Yeah.
But it's – and the beauty – I mean, it's made people, like, really, you know, push into their creativity, which is awesome. There's a lot.
It's a creative time. It's just hard to make any kind of money at it, you know. All right, the fans are going to freak out if I don't ask you guys about Royal Empire Music. There's a lot of questions about that. And if there's no answer to that, is there any venue, Davey, where your voice can be heard again in a musical sense?
Well, Royal Empire Music was Jared and me.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, it's crazy. I went through... When I went through a divorce, you know, I probably wrote more songs during that time than I have ever, really.
Yeah.
And so I planned on releasing that at some point. But now I'm in a different place. You know, it's like thing about like divorce and to sing about like even relationships after that, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome woman that I'm getting married to, and it's like, I mean, she always is pushing me to do it. She's like, go for it. It doesn't matter, you know? And I feel like there's, even if I'm not in that spot, maybe it would be helpful for somebody else. I mean, I cannot say enough that in our struggles, in our just the depths of the muck of life, you know,
yeah,
how much God uses those moments to speak truth to you, you know, if you're willing to listen, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think in all of that, you know, I realized that how much God really loves me, which is kind of a crazy realization, because none of us deserve it. I don't feel like I deserve it, but it was a moment where somebody had told me right when I was kind of going through all the mess, you know, of divorce, was somebody I was close to me told me, they're like, well, Davey, you know, God hates divorce. And I said, I was just like, yeah, I know. I hate it too. It's horrible. Yeah. And then somebody after that had kind of pulled me aside and said, yeah, God hates divorce because he loves you. Mm. And he knows that it's painful. Mm. He hates divorce because he loves you. And he said, this guy was like, God can never hate anything more than what he loves you. He can never hate.
Oh yeah.
He hates that because he loves you. And I was like, oh, man, it just like, it clicked, you know,
man.
I don't know. It definitely broke through to me. So,
yeah. Well, so we hope
to say I probably won't ever make any music, but maybe sometime.
I mean, unless your fiance, soon to be wife, you know, can wear you down. I think we're going to focus all of our efforts onto her now.
Okay.
To to help whisper that.
Inger Calderon.
What's that?
Inger Calderon. Just
Inger.
Find her. And
she's watching right now, actually. She's been commenting. See? Yeah. She's there. You go.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah. She's here. She's
thinking of making a record.
She's taking notes. Awesome. Well, man, the time has gone by so fast. I want to respect it. But before we go, tell us, obviously, with you know, the upcoming wedding planning and all this stuff, praying for you guys, how else can we pray for you? And you too, Sam.
Yeah. Sure. So what I'm doing now, I'm one of the pastors at a church called Journey Church here. In
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Brentwood. And man, it's an amazing season, and just I'm grateful for what I get to do. But yeah, you know, it's just the challenges of ministry are real, you know, they're there. And so just perseverance and wisdom and that would be amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a well-loved church out there in the Nashville area. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Anything else to add, Davey?
I think just the stress of all the things going on for me, you know, I think, you know, and I know Inger would appreciate those prayers too.
we'll leave her picture up here while we pray here for a sec. So of course, those of you who watch this, you know, we pray now. If you watch it later, you know, it works the same. So let's do that. God, thank you so much for Davey and Sam. Thank you for Bleach and how it continues to just to encourage people, inspire people years after the last note's been played. Lord, we thank you for the work that these guys are doing in their various ministries, from Journey Church to Food for the Hungry. We pray that you would just continue to impact people's lives and their daily situations, the way that they relate to the world and to you. Through what they do. Thank you for those awesome callings that you continue to put on their lives. Lord, for Davey, we just pray for all of these various transitions. Each one in and of itself is massive, and we just pray for your strength and your clarity and peace in that. And for Inger as well, thank you that you've brought these two together. And also, Lord, for Sam, we just pray over Journey Church, a church that has impacted countless lives in Nashville and far beyond, and pray that you'd just strengthen Sam for the work you have for him. And Lord, whatever you have next, we pray for your undeniable presence in it. And we thank you for all of it, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, you guys. This has been awesome. And yeah, Inger, get on that. And see, she says make the music. You got a happy wife, happy life. You know, maybe it'll be like a love songs album.
I do want to say this real quick. You know, I don't want it to – Inger and I actually talked about this. It's like all the stuff that's happening in my life is good. Yeah. And so it's stressful,
totally.
But it's good. And I know that some people listening, maybe some people out there are in different situations where things aren't great, you know, yeah. where they actually have really serious things. And I think about that even with the people that we serve with Food for the Hungry. And it's like, I'm not missing that. You know, I think that's,
Yeah. I mean, it's more like parts of how much can your brain process? It's really more about the general CPU, you know, in the brain.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Well, man, this has been awesome. Appreciate you guys. Sam, what an awesome surprise.
Hey, thank you.
And awesome. Yeah, this is great. So, you know, check out all the tours that are going on. And if Food for the Hungry is a sponsor, you'll probably see this guy right there. So I'm sure you can go down to the table and chat with this guy. And of course, you can find out more about what he's doing now at FH.org. And so we got to – yeah, I'd love to find a way to hear your voice again. And I will do that after this program by showing my kids the entire Static album. thank you guys so much. Thanks for taking a throwback trip with us. And best to you both. And we'll do it again sometime.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care. Bye. All right, that's what we've got today. Hey, man, this was awesome. Thank you for being here. Thanks for all of your questions. If you're new to the show, we do this every Tuesday and Thursday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. And on Thursdays, we talk with our musical heroes. It's great. And on Tuesday, we talk with the folks that are releasing new stuff and doing all that. So we hope you'll be here. If you miss any of these episodes, you can go to ccmmagazine.com, click the Live with Marcus tab. Check out the blog that's there too, the daily blog. And we also have a podcast. If you go to iTunes, search for CCM, and it's just the audio component without the second dimension. I don't know, whatever dimension you see my face on. That's what we've got for now. We'll see you on the blog, and we'll see you next Tuesday, okay? All right, take care.